from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sister sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Take the stone away, come out, come out. Take the stone away, come out.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him."
He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him."
Take the stone away, come out, come out. Take the stone away, come out.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world."
Take the stone away, come out, come out. Take the stone away, come out.
When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Take the stone away, come out, come out. Take the stone away, come out.
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it.
Take the stone away, come out, come out. Take the stone away, come out.
Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out."
Take the stone away, come out, come out. Take the stone away, come out. Take the stone away, come out.
Tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
In the long story that you just heard, there are two sentences that sum up what this story reveals to us about Jesus, what he should mean for our lives, and the marvelous hope that he gives us. Those two sentences are, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Lazarus becomes a symbol of what Jesus means, and Mary becomes a symbol of faith. Are you willing to reflect on these sentences for a few minutes? If you are, then think first about the words, "Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live." I think we can understand those words in two ways. First, some people die before they are dead. You might even know some of them, or you and I might even be one of them. If so, this part of the gospel is for us. Some people today are living in tombs of grief or loneliness or boredom and routine and a life without much meaning, or with a dried out and dead faith. Others are petrified by their fears and timidity and self-pity or regret for what might have been, or even worse, by hatred or resentment or the unwillingness to forgive, which is the self-made grave. Others are buried in despair, addiction, or that overpowering temptation or sin or weakness that seems to bury them alive without any hope. Others are just dead tired of struggling. A Los Angeles man named Marco Contreras could have been one of these, but about a year ago, after having been buried in a prison for 20 years for a crime that he did not commit, a murder, he was released by a local judge when the Loyola Law School Project for the Innocent, after 5 years of work, found proof that an eyewitness account was unreliable and that in truth somebody else had committed the crime. Asked when he was released whether he felt any rancor, Contreras shook his head and said, "No, none. There's no reason." He said he was looking forward to Holy Week because his faith, he said, for 20 years had kept him from being buried in depression. He didn't die in prison before he was dead. Faith in Jesus gave him the life that Jesus promised in those words to Mary. That's the kind of faith that's available to anyone who is dying before they are dead. That is, if they believe, as Mary did, and let Jesus call them from their tombs, as he did Lazarus. For the rest of us who hopefully die only when we are dead, there are these words: "Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." What Jesus meant is this: whoever believes in him while we are still alive will be given by Jesus a vibrant and deep spiritual life that gives us strength and meaning, and not even physical death can take that away. That kind of spiritual life and faith in Jesus will never die out, but will continue into eternal life. These words have brought great comfort, not only to those who live this kind of faith-filled life, but also to those who mourn their dead, and to all of us who will someday face death. They are a promise that the tomb is a womb for those who believe, and we will never die. Never. What a marvelous hope that is. What a marvelous promise that is. Lazarus just got through the first half of it when he came from the tomb to live again. He would receive the second half when he would die again, but live forever. That's the kind of faith that was expressed by George Callahan, a pastor and a friend of that beloved football coach, Aaron Feist, of that Parkland, Florida high school. Aaron was killed on Valentine's Day when he used his big body to protect his students. Callahan said at his funeral, "I called him the gentle giant. In fact, just before the service started, I received a phone call. It was from St. Peter," he said. "St. Peter said they had to make the gates into heaven a little larger for Aaron to come in. He was a big man, and his heart was as big as his frame." The preface for our funeral mass puts it this way: "Lord, For your faithful people, life is changed, not ended. When the body of our earthly dwelling lies in death, we gain an everlasting dwelling place in heaven. There was one final thing that Jesus said to Mary, and I think that Jesus says to each one of us today, and that is, do you believe? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? It all depends on that.